This is the 2 North Jackson Podcast with news, insights, details, and accomplishments from Alabama's 67 county governments. Welcome to the October edition of the 2 North Jackson Podcast. This month, we'll talk about rolling out the welcome mat, a new approach to risk management, and some pitfalls in passing local legislation. We'll start with our friend Sam Bradford, who is vice chair of the Chambers County Commission. Sam was elected for the first time in 2016, but has a long career of public service, more than 40 years in education, and now serves on the association's board of directors. And Sam, we appreciate you visiting with us today.
Thanks, Sonny. It's always good to be involved with ACCA, and thank you for the opportunity and share something that might help somebody along the way.
As we approach the month of November, the election is right around the corner, and one of the things that will happen is we'll get a new crop of county commissioners, we think somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 or so, and it's not been that long ago since you were a new county commissioner, elected for the first time in 2016, and I wanted to talk a minute or two with you about your first exposure to the association, what you thought, and your interaction and impressions from that orientation session back in 2016.
I think when you go into something for the first time, you go in just sort of cautious and trying to look around and seeing what everybody else is doing and what you're supposed to do. There were veteran commissioners from other counties that reached out to me and to others. I quickly think about Ray Long and Randy Vest, who did that not just to me, but to a lot of commissioners. And our relationship has grown in the 6 years I've been commissioner, along with a lot of other commissioners. And the new commissioners need to be welcomed in just like a new next-door neighbor. In education, one of my favorite words there was nourish. And these new commissioners need to be nourished. The quicker they get to a comfort level, the better. And a lot of times it means I'd have people come up to me and just introduce themselves. And I've tried to follow that. I remember the first year I retired in Alabama and went to Georgia, and it took me about 7 months to get to a comfort level, because each organization has procedures, and they are unwritten procedures. And you had people that helped me to learn those. And some people are better at this than others. I'm a fairly sociable type person, and I've done my best to reach out to other people as the new commissioners come and make them feel comfortable. I know it really made me feel good.
Well, and that's something I think as we get ready for the orientation and then the legislative conference in December, there'll be a crowd of new faces. And what I hope happens is that guys like you who are now veterans will look for those new faces and, like you said, extend a hand and try to make them feel part of the organization, because this is one of the keys for us to continue to be successful. You know, 50 people doesn't sound like a lot, but that's about 15% of the county commissioners in Alabama. And so for us to continue to be effective, that 15% can't sit on the sidelines.
Right. You look at people like Ray, Randy, Roger Hayes, and Marcus Campbell, and others that have served as presidents down through the years, Steve McKinnon, David Money. They have the commitment. And as I would talk to new commissioners, I would encourage them to be involved and be part of making the association strong. And these people would encourage me to be involved. And that helped me to just jump right in and get on with the program.
Get on with the program. I like that. And you come from a county that's got a history of engagement in the association. But for you personally, you pretty quickly became very active, and you've been on the board of directors for a number of years now, even though you've only been in office for 6 years. Could you talk a little bit about the importance of being a real part of the association and not simply coming to the conference and sitting in the chair?
Right. I think you can use that to, like, people that's on a church roll. They have a connection. People that are there every Sunday have a commitment. And ACCA is no different, because you see people that go to the conference and not engaged and not into what's going on. And you don't see them as much as you do others that do have that commitment. And you need to do what you signed up for. It's a lot more than just 2 meetings a month for a commissioner or just going to a convention. You know, you learn other things that you need to be involved with to make make your home county and ACCA stronger.
Speaking of commitment, you were elected in 2016, which means you got reelected in 2020, and you had the opportunity to join the association's leadership program that we call PLAN. It's time now for those folks who were first elected in 2018, who are being reelected here in just a couple of weeks, to consider joining what we will now be calling PLAN 2024. This will be our fifth group. We will have been at it 10 years. It's a commitment of time and energy. But now that that experience is behind you, could you talk a little bit about whether it was worth it or not and the benefits for you?
It's a truly meaningful leadership experience. Not only do you learn professionally, but you develop new friendships. It's sort of like going to a tailgate. You go to tailgate, you got your group of friends. Well, we'd come to the plan meeting. It very quickly became more. It became friendships, getting us together, and then talking about county government, making it better, problems they had, similar to what Chambers County might have, and looking for ways to move past that. And it was a really good experience. One of the two books that you had us to read, Lincoln on Leadership, I just truly love that book. It was just so applicable. I know at home, one of the things in Lincoln is don't avoid your adversaries. And there's a little council meeting at a service station at home. And, well, if anything, I think they do it just to aggravate me. But, you know, I meet them head on. And that's what Lincoln did. And so it was just a truly meaningful experience. Didn't take an abundant amount of time, just some commitment. And certainly helped me to develop skills and make me a better county commissioner.
Well, you mentioned the Lincoln on Leadership book. One of the good things about those who might be thinking about joining it is that we won't be learning about Lincoln. He will not be the focus. I don't know what the focus will be. We've got a couple of months to get that figured out because we as a staff like to make the experience different for everyone. Y'all had a fairly small group, really the smallest group that we've ever had. But in the end, I think that was good for y'all to be a little closer to each other.
Right. And during the process, you know, we had a couple of meetings. And I guess in terms of judging the comfort or the atmosphere of the meeting, it was like here. And then you go in one time, and it's just like we've been friends forever.
Well, I appreciate very much your dedication and leadership for the association, for being a part of PLAN, for leading us as we go forward in what's going to be a very challenging year. And I know that you'll have your hand stuck out when the new commissioners show up in December.
Exactly.
And I look forward to seeing you then. Thanks very much for joining us. Again, Sam Bradford, who is Vice Chairman of the Chambers County Commission and a PLAN graduate. Thanks for being a part today.
Thank you.
Next, we'll turn our attention to the association's new emphasis on risk management and engagement with counties at the local level through our partner, County Risk Services. And we'll welcome Patty Stevens today, who is Risk Management Team Leader. Patty, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, the association's two insurance funds about 4 years ago shifted away from using an outside third-party administration company, brought the whole effort in-house, and it's been an interesting transition. But one of the things that motivated the two boards of trustees to make this big shift and invest in a new company was assisting counties in a more active way in trying to reduce losses, reduce injuries by employees, better insure and recognize the property of the county. And it has taken a while, but we're almost up to full strength now, right, Patty?
That's correct.
We have a full team of four people, and a number are new, as well as you are, been with us a few months, came with an enormous amount of experience from Alpha. And tell us a little bit about the group that counties will be seeing when you show up in mass on site.
So, of course, I will come. I'm the risk management team lead. And then we have three other people that will come on site. And that would be David McMichael, who is a law enforcement risk management consultant. And he brings a lot of experience to the table with 30 years plus law enforcement experience, as well as Chris Mulkey and Joel Best, who are also risk management field consultants. Both of those come from the state of Alabama, and they have about 10 to 15 years of insurance experience and field work.
And so what our counties have been used to over the years has been one person with the territory who would come and meet with them, and we're eventually going to land there. But what you've been working on for the last year or so is coming in and doing a much more hands-on, intensive visit and evaluation. If you could tell us a little bit about how that works, especially for the counties that are going to see you in the next few months.
That's correct. So we want to service our customers and give them the most bang for their buck and make sure that they're not overpaying for their insurance and make sure they are adequately insured. So we print off their schedules and go over their property schedules, their vehicle schedules, their EDP, their mobile equipment to make sure that what they have insured is correct, but also to ask if they have some equipment that is not even listed, if they want insurance for that piece of property or for that building. And then we also talk about their loss runs and trends and try to resolve on potholes or some other claims we see that they need to address to try to mitigate some of their losses. And also, we have two different visits, right? We have the county visit, which is mostly just me, Joel, and Chris. And then we also have the jail and the sheriff office visit, which involves David McMichael. And he will go and he will make an appointment with the sheriff and the jail administrator and go over two different assessments and talk about their procedures and what they have in place and talk about some training that might benefit the law enforcement to help them out on their side. And then David does a walkthrough of the jail. Once we finish the meeting, because we do ask for the administrator, the engineer and the EMA to attend the meeting and go over all of this information, we go out and we start looking at the property and try to identify anything that needs to be addressed. When we get back, we go back to the office and we send out a letter to what we found as far as items that need to be addressed and identified for them to respond back to us. We ask that they respond within 90 days because of the SIDP, the Safety Incentive Discount Program, and that is one of the requirements if they do participate in that. We also send out, which is a new procedure, an email of items that were discussed during the meeting, and then they can respond back. Other than that, that's pretty much the new procedure.
Well, it sounds like all of these meetings are customized, that you take the loss runs, the things that are problems in that county, and then try to emphasize those in an effort to give everybody tools to try to address their losses.
And each county is different, right? So we try to make sure that they have what they need and address any questions that they have. We are here to service them and help them in any way that they can.
Well, of course, the association's insurance programs involve workers' comp, liability, and property. And I know the property program is the newest. And I think that one of the things that you found, you've already been, I think, to 30 counties, has been what you would in the business call premium leakage. But from us and trying to help the counties, you're finding property that the county owns that's not even insured sometimes.
Absolutely. We found just recently a visit that we've had a storage building that was completely tore down, and they're paying premium on that building and they didn't realize that they had taken it off, and they're still paying premium on something that they don't even have on site.
And then once the analysis begins, I know another issue is often whether the building is actually insured to the proper level. Is it insured at replacement cost, or is it insured at a lower value? And that certainly exposes the county to significant risk, right?
That's correct. Just recently we went to a county and most of their storm shelters were insured on an agreed value, which an agreed value is that one amount is the most that they would actually be able to be recoverable for. But if they have it on replacement cost, they have other coverages that would be included, like debris removal or some additional costs, that the replacement cost value is a better value for them to have on that building. But that would be up to them as far as if they want to insure it at that.
From a premium standpoint, making that shift is not the kind of thing that's going to bankrupt the county versus the significant cost that you might have if a building was damaged and completely lost.
That's right. And if they want agreed value, that's fine. But if they want a quote on a replacement cost, which is a better value, then they should get in touch with Ashley Watson, who is our underwriter, and they can give a quote for the member.
And so now for the counties that haven't seen the full team, what's ahead in the next few months is that you get on site with the remaining 28 or so counties that are part of the program, and the full team will be coming for this first kind of turning the page new effort. But then after that, I think you're going to kind of restructure your team, right?
That's right. We have a new team, and that's the reason why everybody's going on the first visit this year. Next year, our plans are to create territories. Once we create territories, then the counties or the members will have a particular person that they can contact and get in touch with. And I'll send out an email to each county and let them know who their person is. They can call for questions.
Well, it'll certainly make it more efficient, and it'll be easier for the team to get around, show up on shorter notice, address particular issues. But for now, I'm very pleased with this approach. I think the counties are as well. We're kind of pressing reset, not to go back to 2020 and our theme of living getting through COVID, but that's really what we're doing, trying to get a good baseline. And in the end, I know the interest in your team is in trying to reduce claims, reduce injuries, and reduce losses.
Absolutely.
Patty, we appreciate you joining us today to kind of give the counties a little insight into what they'll see in the next few months as the risk management team from County Risk Services shows up on the ground at the county level. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Sonny.
And we'll conclude this month's Two North Jackson podcast with a discussion on local legislation. As the 2023 session is 4 months away, we'll spend a little bit of time with our friend Roger Creekmore talking about the passage of local legislation. Roger, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, Sonny.
Now, Roger's been county administrator in Colbert County for about 4 years. And before that, you served as county commissioner in Colbert County as well, right?
Yes, I think I'm probably the craziest person in Alabama. I was out and I came back.
And you came back, and everybody's happy you came back. You're doing a fabulous job there. You're an officer in the County Administrators Association. You're on the insurance board, and we're keeping you pretty busy.
You're keeping me very busy, probably a little busier than I'd like to be, but I did sign on for it. So.
That's right. Well, we'll talk a few minutes today about local legislation, preparation, persistence, and maybe a little bookkeeping that we ought to do along the way, as counties probably aren't yet thinking about preparing local legislation, but it is about time to start, isn't it?
Yes, it's about time to start. You want to get your folks lined up. Be sure you know what you want your legislation to do, that the verbiage is correct, that you have a bill drafted before you advertise it, and that you have your delegation all on the same page.
And that really starts, doesn't it, Roger, with getting the county commissioners on the same page first?
Yes, because there's some nuances that you may put in a bill that commissioners will not agree on, and then you don't want to have someone hit the stop button when you're trying to get your bill through the legislature.
So there's a bunch of things to juggle, although passing a local bill might seem simple on the outside. First, we need to get everything worked out inside our own house. And then we move to talking with and working with legislators who perhaps their real opinions and motivations may not be as easy to uncover on local legislation.
That's correct. And all of us would like to live in a bubble and not realize that we deal with politics, but it is politics. And your bill may be very, very important to what the county commission wants to do, but it may affect another group differently. And they won't realize what you're trying to do, and you get your bill in and they call their legislators and suddenly your bill stalls. So you also want to take into account who your bill is going to impact.
I was going to ask you about that directly. Sometimes, especially on local legislation, we don't evaluate what our desires are in light of what other people may think about our desires.
That's correct. Very well put, because you just never know. And you don't want your delegation to get cold feet because they're getting calls from other constituents. If you see that you've got other possible stakeholders, it'd be a good idea to talk to them up front. Before you draft your legislation, get all of that worked out and make it easy on your legislative delegation.
Well, and that's a great point. What's the old line? I'm sure you remember it from when you were county commissioner. All politics is local.
Right? All politics is local.
And for legislators, the guys and ladies who've been around a long time will tell you, you get beat because of the stances you take on local legislation, not the statewide issues. And so legislators sometimes are a little more skittish and a little more guarded with information when you're talking with them about local legislation.
Yes, they want to be cautious. They're looking down the road for a future election, and an issue that is not an issue suddenly has become an issue. So work those out in advance.
And so we get all that worked out. We get our bill advertised. We don't start early enough. And so we get our bill introduced not on the first day of the session, but the 15th day of the session, let's say. That causes us some procedural worries, or it should cause us some procedural worries, right? And if everybody listening hadn't figured it out, there's a punchline at the end of our discussion. But getting started early in the session is important too, is it not?
It's very important, and we always say the wheels of government turn slow, and they do turn slow, but if you wait, the clock is ticking. and your bill has to go through a process, and that process takes time, and it may be pigeonholed somewhere. So you need to track your legislation, and you don't want to get into a situation that we enjoyed in the last session, that your bill is the next to the last bill passed in the legislative session. That's not a good thing to happen.
Well, we'll get to the punchline in a second, but one of the things that gets you there, where your bill's the next to the last bill to pass in the session, there are a lot of things that have to happen bad. I'm thinking back about a football game a couple of weeks ago. Alabama traveled north, and a whole bunch of bad things had to get you to the point to where a missed field goal seemed to be the reason that you lost the game, but it really wasn't. There's so many things that can go wrong in the legislative process, and it's a long way from Colbert County to Montgomery, and it's hard to follow all those details, right?
It is hard to follow, and are there any SEC officials in the Alabama legislature?
I don't know.
Maybe we need to leave that off and not talk about that. But any number of things, you need to track your bills. Now, your staff tracks major legislation religiously. And I like to try to track mine through Allison. It works pretty good sometimes, but you can go on there and you tell if your bill's still in committee, if it's had its second reading. And if it's in the Senate, then see that it's moving. And if it's not moving, you need to be contacting someone.
Yeah, that's right. We do follow all the general legislation religiously and communicate that. But in a normal session, there are more than 100 local bills, and we put those on our website. You can go and check the status of those there in real time, but we don't follow that process as closely. And so if a bill is sitting in the local legislation committee for 2 weeks, we probably will not be the one who calls you and tells you that. Not because we're not concerned about it, but because the association's focus is on general legislation. So you need to learn how to operate that system and keep up, right?
Correct. It's very important. It's very important. And I'd like to backtrack a little bit. In the formulation of your bill, I left something out. Make sure that your local bill does not conflict with some other type of legislation. You don't want to get that bill in and then it gets hung up and somebody has an aha moment and say, oh, now we've got to change your bill because it conflicts with this, 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 and this.
And then we're in a problem with Alabama's Constitution. There's actually some litigation going on in the state right now about local bills that got changed during the process. All the more reason as we sit here on the last workday of October to not think that it's a long time until the session begins. It is 4 months. But we lose about a month of that around the holidays, so it's time to get to work.
You may have a myriad of people that you need to get together to get them to agree. That's all on different schedules, and I know with our legislative delegation, if we're going to have a luncheon to discuss this, we're going to have to start 2 months early to get everybody on the same schedule.
Get everybody there face-to-face, and that's a good point. Face-to-face conversations on any kind of controversial local legislation, much better than texting and all that stuff. There's a place for all that, but you work things out much better around the table face-to-face.
That's correct.
And now for the punchline.
All right.
In the 2022 session, Colbert County had a piece of legislation that was very, very important. All the delays that could happen did happen, right?
Correct. So we get down to the last 30 seconds of the game, and we think we've won because we kicked a field goal, and our bill passed next to the last. But we lost the game.
Because?
The governor pocket vetoed the bill.
Governor's got to sign the bill, too.
That little nuance that people didn't realize, if it had been 10 days earlier, it would have became law without the governor's signature. But because we were within that window, our bill didn't get signed, and
it's not law today.
DOA.
So the message, as we sit here, is there's a whole lot of things that can go wrong with local legislation. And if it's important enough to you, then you need to get started early. You need to work hard. You need to watch the process. You need to track your legislation. And you don't need to pass it on the last night.
I was up to midnight with the session, and I said, yay, we've won the game, and obviously we fumbled on the half-yard line.
But we get to play football again.
There's another season.
Well, Roger, we appreciate very much you joining us to talk a few minutes about local legislation, as I know county officials and employees all over the state
hopefully can learn from your experience, and we'll have a much smoother 2023 regular session. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Sonny, and thanks for all you and your staff do for the counties in Alabama.
And we appreciate everyone joining us again for the 2 North Jackson podcast. We look forward to catching up with you next month as we will have our November episode, which will again become available on the last work day of the month.